All right, folks, welcome back in. This is the Believe in Rams podcast. It's episode 135. I'm joined here by my co-host Cameron Lynch, who formerly played for the LA Rams, who they definitely could have used on Sunday. I had to do it, Cam. You know I had to do it.
Yeah,
but you know, just the ringing endorsement there. But yeah, the Rams fell 27-17 to the Arizona Cardinals at home, and they also fell to 3-6 in the bottom of the NFC West. Who would have thought, not me, that this team that just won the Super Bowl this calendar year would be last in the NFC West? I didn't even think that was possible, Cam, after week one. So, a lot to talk about. Before we get into it, be sure to subscribe, like, rate, review, comment, all that jazz. Really does help out the show, and we appreciate it. And now I have an ad read from betonline.ag. Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head on over to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, Cam, we're going to start with the burning question, of course. That's how we start off our shows. For those of you who are new here, welcome. So with the burning question, when is it time, Cam? When is it time to just wave the white flag, admit this season got away, and ultimately just play your young guys? Because right now, I'm asking this question. I'm not coming from the state of mind that they should do this, right? I'm not coming from the state of mind that they should wave the white flag. But I throw that question to you because when is the time? Not saying it's now, but when is that time? Because it has to, obviously, there is a time where you just wave the white flag and you're like, this season's over.
So, yeah, they say wave the white flag. Never give up, never back down, Jake. That's one thing. You know, I played for the Rams. I've been here before. Played at Syracuse. I've been here before. Never wave the white flag. And the reason why I say that is wins and losses, they don't define who the Rams players are as people, right? That's just, they're just having a tough season. But at the end of the day, they have to finish strong. I learned a lot, you know, through losses in games. And so never concede, never back down, and prepare for next week. You know, I think we talk about this all the time. 24-hour rule, right? 24-hour rule. The Rams aren't doing well. The Saints aren't doing well either, right? So now the Rams have a chance to go beat up on somebody. So why not go beat up on the Saints? You know, never give up. That's like that should be the phrase, you know, for the Rams locker room. I know there's Cooper Kupp is hurt. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on, but they can't give up, because the thing is, you're going to have to take this momentum into the next season, right? What is that going to look like? What is this story going to be? And for athletes and for just anyone in general, you always have to pin last. So never give up. Don't be 3-0, you know, whatever that is, right? Make sure you get some more wins under your belt. At least get to 500 if you can. And, you know, break even if it's possible, but never give up, never back down. That's going to be my phrase. And 24-hour rule is in effect. So on to the Saints.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, right? Because I actually want to kind of look at this last game. The way they finished it was actually positive, right? Because they mm-hmm. finished in the end zone, which, I mean, you got to love that they actually were able to score at the end. I feel like the Rams are that team, no matter how good they are, when they get blown out, because, like, let's be honest here, when McVay is bad, he's bad. Like, when they're at their low, they're at their lowest, you know? And so that's the thing is, like, I've seen a lot of blowouts with the Rams. It just feels like, maybe it's just me, they never are able to score on those garbage time, you know, opportunities where the other teams in a different, you know, scenario are. And so it was nice to see them get in the end zone. Meant a lot to Van Jefferson. The fact that he mentioned that post game, you could tell that, I mean, that's a mental thing, and that's a good thing. I mean, he broke down practically crying in his dad's arms after the game. That just came out. that clip from Hard Knocks. So that's a huge thing there. You know, I think the pass by
Wolford too. I mean, the pass that he threw. I mean, that's
he might start this week. So, you know, if that's your starter, it's good to end on a good note. You know, it's good for the offensive line. Hey, we blocked on that play that led to a touchdown. You know, we gave him the opportunity to do that. I think a lot of different you know, things come into it. No, I mean, as a 3-6 Rams team, you know, that just won the Super Bowl, do we want to be talking about, you know, these moral victories at the end of garbage time? No, but this is where we're at, and we have to be honest with ourselves. I liken this to the exact opposite. Right before the Rams went on their 3-game losing streak in what is coined No Win November, I had an issue. I would kill for that team right now. Because they actually won the game, and I was complaining live stream, and people were like, why are you complaining? Just like enjoy this win. And I'm like, no, because I didn't like the way they finished the Texans game. You know, they dominated them. They won 38-21, but it was like 38-0. And Sean McVay takes out all his guys, you know, like the beginning of the third. And I started to see something in that team. Like, it was almost like, oh, we got this, like, it's over. And, like, the work ethic, the hard work, like, wasn't there anymore. And Davis Mills is going down the field at will now, and they score 21 points unanswered. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's no big deal. I'm like, that is a big deal because that's how they finished the game. So the Texans just got 3 touchdowns on this defense. I don't care who was out there, who was on the sideline. That is not good. That the momentum's gone. You just blew a team out, and then you let them back into it. I understand 38-21, you still won the game, but I just didn't like the vibes going into the Tennessee game. And then sure enough, we see the Tennessee game. That offense ain't kicking around Tennessee that next week, you know? And so it's somewhat translated. You know, and that would also annoy me.
Let me jump into right there, Jake. Right. You mentioned it's not how you start, it's always how you finish. And we talk about habits, just building habits in general as athletes or just as humans. If you let it slip, like imagine what when they wake up the next day, what's gonna carry over. Some of those same tendencies, like, oh, I got a little lax. Well, I'm gonna wake up tomorrow. I got the dub, but I'm still gonna be a little lax. And it's showing. So all those bad habits have now accumulated to where we are now in 3-6 in the Rams. And so just finishing strong is extremely important, no matter what industry you're in, because building good habits, it breeds success. So sorry for cutting you off there, but I think that's extremely important.
No, you're right. And, you know, Cam, just watching this team, they came out with fire. They really did. I mean, the first drive, great game plan, script, whatever you want to call it. And if Cohen is doing it, then Liam Cohen deserves the credit because that was a really nice job. They only got a field goal, which was like the issue. This has been the issue with this team. They've had drives and they just stall. But that was a really nice game script. And to start off with a field goal is not the end of the world. You're up 3-0. Then the defense, you see the tackle immediately. You could see the animosity between Jalen Ramsey and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. It is there. Those two do not like each other. There is definitely a found respect for each other, but they do not like each other when they're, you know, on the field. And you saw that, you know, Ramsey had a really nice open field tackle, kind of set the tone early on, maybe threw him a little bit, you know, it was like I could see the fire in the team. But at the same time, they're going up against a backup quarterback. You know, at the same time, the offensive line is makeshift, just like the Rams offensive line. So it's like they were playing a mirror image of themselves and they still couldn't beat them. And you know, the thing that bothers me is if you told me ahead of time, Cam, the Cardinals are going to win 27-17, I would have instantly knew why. They abandoned the run. I mean, I would have assumed that the run wasn't possible. But when you have Daryl Henderson going for 6 yards to carry the first 2 carries of the game that he has, Cam Akers is averaging 4.3. We'll take 4.3. If he's above 4, we'll take it. So that's pretty decent. Why are you going away from running the ball? Why is John Wolford throwing 36 times, Cam? 36 times. Colt McCoy threw 37, and I don't know why he did that either, but Colt McCoy was throwing when they're playing the bend, don't break. So, I mean, these guys are open, you know? Mm-hmm. John Wolford is running the same offense that they were running with Matthew Stafford. I understand having confidence in him. We were confident. But we thought, we were confident in the fact Sean McVay is going to be forced to run the ball. And to only get 13 carries out of your running backs, there should be another word that is you know, stronger than inexcusable. Because that was ridiculous, Cam. I mean, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, wow, they're going to be able to run the ball on this team? Oh, my God. I'd run the ball 50 times.
Right.
I would run it until they made a stop. You get Higbee going. You get Allen Robinson going. Once again, go away from him.
Yeah.
Skowronek got going. I liked what Sean McVay did early on. Was like, hey, you know, John Wolford has had these reps with Skowronek. He has that familiarity. So let's put Skowronek out there for the first play of the game. Sure enough, you know, he makes a nice catch. I don't get it. Like, at some point or another, McVay has to, and I you know what? I think it's going to happen at the end of the year. Unfortunately, it's going to be too little too late. But in the offseason, I think Sean McVay is going to sit down. He's going to watch every one of these games and be like, what was I thinking? And I think it's easy when you're in the whirlwind of the season to get caught up into just the whirlwind itself. And like, you know, you kind of stray away from what you should be doing. And, you know, maybe you get a little careless. Maybe you get a little egotistical because you're like, whatever I did last year worked. And if I do the same thing, you know, it should work. But the problem is, and this is a serious problem, and my friend Blaine, who writes for Turf Show Times, formerly with Downtown Rams, brought this up to me. Sean McVay adamantly went against any chance of him giving up play calling today in a presser. Okay? He is not going to give up play calling despite the struggles. McVay's offense, according to EPA rating, has as many seasons in the bottom 10 of the league as it does in the top 10. So this is a high or low organization right now. I mean, that's really what they are. They're either at their best or at their worst. And it's like, when the Rams lose, they lose bad. They're not even close games. I mean, this game was 27-10. They got a garbage time touchdown. Yes. So, you know, you're just at the point where, like, Cam, you and I are saying, we're giving you the blueprint. Like, you know, obviously maybe we're not the offensive expertise, you know, that Sean McVay provides, but we're giving you the blueprint. Run the ball. Manage Wolford. Have Wolford manage the game. Wolford should never be throwing 36 times. In a game like that, never. I mean, that was just poorly managed. And I, like I always say, I love Sean McVay to death. He is the one that has completely changed this organization around. I don't have to tell you that. I mean, you know that. But at some point or another, like, you have to pass the sticks, like you've been saying.
Exactly. And I think what we're seeing is, right, you mentioned at the beginning of the game, the Rams were cooking, right? Allen Robinson was going, Wolford was going. And I think what Sean McVay did was he went back to his bad habits, the same habits. A lot of times when, you know, when the stuff hits the fan, right, you go to what you're comfortable with. And that's the same offense that he's been running with Matthew Stafford. And so what I did like, though, is the Rams started running some play action pass. They had some sprint out and some rollouts. And I saw that Wolford was the best whenever he was rolling out, whenever he was on the run. And so the Rams, they started doing that later in the game. But beginning of the game, he's drop back passing. He's stationary. And I think one of the broadcasters was saying it is his accuracy whenever he's sitting still is not the best. You know, we talked about towards the end of the game when he threw that touchdown pass, he was on the move. It was a more, I feel like for Wolford, he had happy feet. You know, that whole game, he seemed nervous when he was in the pocket. His feet were just bouncing up and down. But whenever he was on the run, he was accurate, right? I think when the level of difficulty, when the pass difficulty got harder, he got better. And so what I think what Sean McVay's gonna have to do is get away from those old habits, those bad habits, right? We mentioned that they were developed after that Texans game, and Sean's continuing to go down that same path of those habits. So change it up a little bit, right? Like whenever you feel like when Sean McVay, and one thing too is a real quick story between me and my partner, me and my lady. You know, whenever things get uncomfortable between me and my lady, we have a code word, right? Our code word is Beyonce is calling. Whenever we're uncomfortable, she loves Beyonce, I love Beyonce. Beyonce is calling. But when for Sean McVay, you know, whenever he's getting into that same habit of doing the same thing over and over again, somebody's getting that mic and say, hey, Sean, Beyonce's calling, like, change it up. You know, let's figure out how we get Wolford comfortable in the pocket, you know, sprint outs, rollouts, and then get back to the run game. And so that I think that's what it is. And so the Rams have to break these bad habits, because 3-game losing streak, come on now. Something's got to change. That's insanity when you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. So I would love to see something different next game for sure.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny. John Wolford reminds me so much of a quarterback I think you might have had a cup of coffee with. Yeah. Austin Davis. Do you remember him?
Yep. Sure, yeah. Do.
he was there for the preseason, and then they let him go. Fun fact, I was like the biggest Austin Davis fan, because he brought hope to an offense that didn't have much of it. But the thing about Austin Davis is that, you know, in 2004, which I know you were still in college for, during that time, he was starting, because they was him and Sean Hill. You know, Bradford unfortunately suffered the injury in preseason, and so they had moved on. And, you know, Davis was just so much more exciting than Sean Hill. Would get out on the move, he looked like a little, like a poor man's Russell Wilson, honestly. Mm-hmm. And he had a game where he threw for 375 yards and 3 touchdowns. And everyone after the game was, you know, clowning on him because, you know, he didn't get the win. Or, you know, against, I think it was Dallas, he threw 3 touchdowns. Jared Cook dropped a fourth. And he threw an interception at the end of the game, and everyone got on him for throwing the interception. But the thing about Austin Davis is that during that time, the Rams running backs were not doing anything. This is post Steven Jackson. This is before Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. You know, so in 2014, it's Zach Stacy and Trey Mason, and you know, neither of them got going until after they took Austin Davis out of the lineup and they put Sean Hill back. So then everyone's like, see, this is why Sean Hill should have been starting. And I was like, no, they started running the ball better when Austin Davis was out of the game. When Austin Davis was in, they kept having him do these 5-7 step dropbacks with no offensive line, and so he would get hit from his blind side and fumble. Or, like, you see what I'm saying? So you know where I'm going with this is they put him in position to fail. Even though he had some great moments, he still failed because they wouldn't let him just manage the game. You know, the fact that you can make those great plays is great, but it's great when you need it. They didn't need him to do that. They needed him to manage the game. They needed to put him in 3-step dropbacks. It's a guy that made reads quickly, you know, and that's the thing with Wolford, you know, kind of tying this all together. That's all Wolford needed to, like, you get him out on the run, great. But, like, if you just throw bootlegs his way and rollouts and things like that, and then just hand off the ball to Henderson, Akers, Kyren, you win this game easily. Yeah. I mean, this should not even have been close.
Yeah. And how about Kyren, though, in the fourth quarter? I mean, and you've been saying it on all of our podcasts, Kyren Williams is that guy. I think you tweeted something. They were doing some drills, him and Cam Akers, and Kyren, he's like, oh, doesn't Kyren look better? And my man looked explosive. I mean, he was coming out of the backfield, catching the football, running through people. I'm like, this might be our guy. And also, too, going back to the other point about Henderson, I think he established the fact that he's the main chick. Like, let's not get it twisted. He's the main chick. Keep running the ball with him. And then Kyren, I think give Kyren a little bit more burn there. You know, I don't know how Fairmaker's going to feel about that. But Kyren was looking explosive, and the Rams might need that. Wolford might need that. Have someone to dump the ball to. So, come on, Rams. Let's go. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, man, Kyren was fun to watch towards the end of the game. He's the reason why I think a lot of people didn't just shut the game off, right? I mean, they're down 27-10, and now 23's in there, and it's just, you know, he's going out for a pass, and they run it with him. He gets 9 yards. They don't run it with him again because, you know, they were down by a lot. So then they start, you know, using him in the passing game. He had 39 yards on 4 touches. I mean, that's some good stuff right there, showing you his pass-catching ability. I mean, we already knew it. This guy can help you in pass pro. He had some reps there. Look, I like John Wolford. I think there are a lot of people that were really soured by him in this game. What I will say is, now that you've lost this game, I do think you could justify starting Bryce Perkins. I will say that. Mm-hmm. I do think now, you know, the door has been unlocked. Like, if Sean McVay, you know, holds out Matthew Stafford, which I know everyone's talking about Kelly Stafford's podcast and, you know, the concussion thing. It's a little scary, right? I mean, you know, there's a chance that, you know, maybe Sean McVay's like, look, our offensive line is constantly, you know, pieces are coming in and out. you know, okay, you know, maybe we shouldn't throw out our franchise quarterback who's under contract for 5 years behind a makeshift offensive line to maybe make the playoffs and instead give a guy like Bryce Perkins a shot who could be the future. Who knows? But I would be for Bryce Perkins at this moment. I'm not against John Wolford, and I don't think it's fair for people to take this loss and put it all on him. He missed some throws, and some of the missed throws did lead to injuries, but man, I know you're a defensive guy, but can Marco Wilson do a better job of not diving into Kupp's knee or leg like that? I had an issue with that, but you tell me, because you're a defensive guy, you got to bring down the guy any means necessary. I get it. The ball was clearly over his head. I felt like Marco Wilson, I don't feel like he did it intentionally, but I feel like he could have done a better job of not just taking out his leg like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate, you know, when it comes to the game of football. Like, you know, things happen. It's the heat of the moment. Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in the league. He wants to make a play, and he just positioned himself poorly. And a lot of times, too, like when you think about it, for the Cardinals team as well, they're like, hey, like, if we got a guy, you know, targeting other players, like, that can't be good, because you never know, right? That young man could be at the Rams one day, and the Rams would be like, hey, you're that one guy that took out our franchise receiver, and you always want to protect other people. So I think at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to players playing dirty, that's not the move, right? Like, that's back in the day. Like, that's that old school stuff. But at the end of the day, like, you want to be able to protect guys. When he sees Cooper Kupp in the offseason, maybe one day or at an event, like, I think an apology is going to have to be due, whether it be through Twitter now, you know, social media now, a call. But you know, reach out to him and say, hey, man, like, you know, I'm going to do better. And that's the only thing for defensive backs, is just to do better, players to do better, to protect us, to protect each other. Because a lot of times, you know, when it comes to the game of football in general, Jake, let's take the game of football in general. Moms and dads who are watching the game of football, they're watching Cooper Kupp go down and like, ooh, I don't want my son playing football, my daughter playing football because of those injuries. And so to protect the game of football, the players have to protect each other. That's just period. And so that defensive backs have to do better and protect the guys he's playing against. And you know, we talked about some of Wolford's throws. I mean, some of those throws were selling kind of high. And so I think, you know, like we talked about earlier, is getting him comfortable in the pocket, which will be extremely important. Roll out passes, some bootlegs, so he can settle and make sure that his receivers are safe as well, right? I think that's going to be extremely important. I'm sure in practice this week, you know, the coach is going to say, hey, get that ball down a little bit so we don't have to have another instance of the Cooper Kupp or whatever that looks like. So it's going to be interesting. And I also want to add this too. When it comes to Wolford, I think who is now more active is going to be Riley Dixon. The punter, a lot of times people don't realize the punter can be an extension of the quarterback. A lot of times you're getting a fourth down, you're pinned in your own end zone. That punter can kick that ball and flip the field, and essentially it could be like a deep ball that's, you know, close to the goal line, whatever that is, and it's a fumble there, whatever. But the punter can be an extension of the quarterback, and so I think we talked about this last week. But Riley Dixon, he's gonna have to make sure he's super healthy. Because Wolford and this Rams team they're really going to need it, because if not, we're going to be doing the same things over and over again. We don't want any more L's, Jake. We don't want any more L's, Jake.
No. We're, you know, it may not be realistic, but we want 8 straight wins. I mean, that's what we want. That's not the expectation, but I mean, that's what they need to do essentially to guarantee they make the playoffs. Because I don't see anybody missing the playoffs at 11-6, 10-7. You're there could be 5 teams that go 10-7 this year. It's crazy. Yeah. And by the way, that was probably the worst case scenario weekend for the Rams, aside from Seattle winning. Everyone won. Even Washington won, which no one thought Washington was going to win.
Taylor Heineke. So I played against Taylor Heineke in high school. Now he won the Georgia Offensive Player of the Year, and I won the Defensive Player of the Year. He threw 300 yards against us, 4 touchdowns each game. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. Old Dominion, he won the Heisman, you know, of that conference. People sleep on Taylor Heineke, but he's that guy. He's him.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he got the job done on the road in Philadelphia for sure. You know, looking today, you know, we're recording this on a Tuesday. It is a Tuesday this week. So Monday it came out that Matthew Stafford was still in concussion protocol. The Rams, unfortunately, today we found out that Alaric Jackson's out for the year. He suffered a blood clot in his knee, I believe, or in his legs. So I hope he's okay. Prayers go out to him. Cooper Kupp is going to have surgery, which is a 4 to 6 week turntable. Might not be a Cooper Kupp season. He might be done, which is okay, because, you know, if he is done, you know, great. Try to get other guys involved. This might not be your year. Do not put him out there if you are not fighting for anything. You know what I mean? So, you know, that I don't mind. I don't mind holding him out. He will be back next year. That was the best news that the Rams could have gotten, is a high ankle sprain, because it was either that. I was watching, you know, Brian Suter, who does these videos on YouTube. He does incredible detailed videos on these injuries, like spur the moment, essentially. And he was saying how it could be like, you know, you know, a hyperextension of the knee, or like there were a lot of different things that came to it, but he was just hoping that wasn't a fibula injury, because that could have been severe. And what you don't want in that scenario is him missing any of next year. You're thinking he's done for this year. You don't want to miss any of the offseason next year, any of that. And with this injury, he won't. So that's a good thing. Kyron Williams, like you mentioned, looked really sharp towards the end of the game in his offensive debut. Chandler Brewer is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. He played with a grade 3 MCL injury. So shout out to him. What a trooper playing through that. But that's all I have for the offense. And we don't have a ton to talk about with the defense, because, I mean, while the defense wasn't great, I mean, the offense was so bad that the defense is still running that bend don't break. And it's like, what can you do? They came out in the second half. Raheem makes adjustments. You know, they play more man coverage and they give up the touchdown. You know, it's like, I mean, at some point, the offense has to be able to lift up the other two, you know, factors of this game. I mean, the special teams, like, Sean McVay is the man when it comes to wanting to play, you know, this, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? All three phases, essentially. Mm-hmm. Playing all three phases, complementary football, if you will. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the exact opposite. And they're putting a lot of pressure on this defense, which they can't play their style. They can't put up points. They're not getting turnovers because they're playing that style. Limited edge pass rush because Colt McCoy is getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds. You know, I just think that, you know, obviously the tackling on third and long was just inexcusable. You know, I forget who it was. It might have been David Long. He had a rough day. Yeah, it was not ideal. And it wasn't like it just wasn't, you know, reflective of what Rams football is supposed to be. It wasn't their brand.
And you gotta tip your hat off though. So, you know, Colt McCoy, I mean, he went out there and he played the game that the Rams should have played, right? The way he was using DeAndre Hopkins early and often, getting him ready to go. And then you talked about it too. You talked about your X factor, Randall Moore. The way that he used Randall Moore, the way that he used AJ Green, like, that's what the Rams should be doing. That should look like Cooper Kupp compared to DeAndre Hopkins. Right. And then you got your Allen Robinson compared to the AJ Green. And then you got the other receiver in the Rams that could be like Randall Moore. But he did what the Rams should have done. What we talked about in this podcast, we're listening here. Right. James Conner. Yeah.
Someone's listening to us.
The Cardinals fans are listening. Right. James Conner. He converted on first downs. That's one thing he really did. Not on first downs, but he converted 4 first downs. A lot of those found the end zone. Like, that's what the Rams should look like at this point in the season, right? Daryl Henderson should be like your James Conner. And so, you know, we're going to the Saints, you know, next week, this week coming up. And the Saints defense, when it comes to Najee Harris, with how he ran against the Saints defense, that could be the Rams, right? And so, like you said earlier, stick to the run game. Get Allen Robinson active. Get Skowronek back in the game, maybe at fullback sometimes. Get Tyler Higbee active. And let's deal. I think, you know, getting away from those bad habits, that's just like the theme. don't give up. Get away from those bad habits. That's what the Rams should focus on this week.
Yeah, and, you know, I think obviously McVay watched a lot of football around the league, you know, copies plays, things like that, which I love. If he watched Washington against Philly last night, what did Washington do? They ran the ball. They ran the ball. They ran it with a Memphis running back, not just Darrell Henderson, but also, you know, they ran it with Antonio Gibson, and they ran it with Brian Robinson, who, I mean, we would need a whole podcast to just explain how freaking amazing that guy is. The fact that, I mean, he was shot multiple times this year and had a stint in the hospital, and now he's running for touchdowns. Like he's taken 20 carries. How come a guy who was literally shot this year is getting more carries than healthy running backs on the Rams?
Come on.
A game.
We'll wait.
there is the social media clip. That is what. How is a guy who was shot this year getting more carries a game than the guys on the Rams that are healthy?
There's
no excuse.
Come on.
He's amazing. He really is. But regardless of all the amazing talk about him and everything, the Rams, I mean, we could call this podcast Run the Damn Ball, episode 136. I mean, you know, it's gotten to the point where it's like, if they ran the ball, as simple as it is, they might be 5-4 right now, Cam. Mm. You know, they might be 5-4, 6-3. Because if you ran the ball, you had success. Let's just say they're average. If they ran at an average clip with the defense, the way it was playing coming into this game, there's no reason why they can't be right in the thick of the playoff race right now and not looking like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to sit there like, you know, hopeful, way too optimistic Homer Jake as a little kid on NFL, like the ESPN NFL, you already know what I'm going to say, the playoff machine, and try to concoct different ways to get the Rams in the play. I'm not going to do that this year. So if the Rams are out of it, like, I'm not going to try and hope to God that they have all those crazy scenarios. We'll probably mention on the podcast if that happens, because we have to do our due diligence there. But no, okay?
Yeah.
Run the ball, figure it out. You have the Saints. The Saints are a beatable team. When you play even average football, they're a beatable team.
Yeah.
And then you have the Chiefs. And if you could beat the Chiefs, that would be a hell of a win. And it would push, it could really push your team in the right direction.
You might be on the playoffs then. You beat the Chiefs. Yeah. You never know. You might be running that machine.
I mean, all of a sudden you beat the Chiefs and you're 5-6 and you got Seattle twice, which is huge.
Yeah.
Huge to win those. And you don't play the Niners again this year. And you're playing, you have a bunch of games left at the AFC West. And look, the Broncos aren't good. The Raiders aren't good. The Chargers are probably the worst 5-whatever team that I've seen. I mean, they're very beatable. I mean, that's the thing. That's why we're talking about this, because the Rams could win 8 straight if they figure, if something clicks, because they have the talent. And the road ahead is not that difficult. And if you want to say, well, they don't have that many home games because they've already played 6, I don't want them playing at home. They're 2-4 when they play at home.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to watch this team play at home right now?
Not right now.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah, one of my buddies who plays basketball, he was texting me. He's like, man, he doesn't really go to too many Rams games, but he's like, man, this isn't fun. I'm like, dang. And I was able to watch the replay of the game, you know, on the NFL Plus app. Shout out to the NFL Plus app. That's been amazing. But he was at the game. I was traveling. He's at the game. He's like, man, this isn't even fun, Cam. And he saw my Instagram post at NFL kickoff week, Bills versus Rams. Ozzy Osbourne performed. It was jumping. But he was like, man, this is even fun. And so when I saw that text, I was like, ooh, Rams ain't running the ball. Rams ain't running the ball.
Nope. Yeah, it really comes down to that. As crazy as it sounds, I mean, you could say that they have a lot of different issues, but a lot of their issues would be corrected if they balanced out their, you know, diversified their, you know, approach. I mean, it's like just putting all your eggs into the proverbial basket and just spending all your money, all of your savings, you're putting into one stock instead of diversifying your portfolio. And that's essentially what they're doing.
Putting the money in FTX.
We could go on and on and on about that. Poor Brady, man.
Man.
That is, wow.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. No, we really could. But yeah, I think really what it comes down to is, I'm not saying we're the smartest people on earth and we have all the answers, but I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know that you should run the ball. You can say that the Rams don't have the running backs for it all you want. The numbers beg to differ. And then the offensive line, this offensive line is so much better than it should be, despite the fact they've played, what, 10, 11 different? I think that was their 10th different. And this week will be their 11th different offensive line they've used as a combination. That's insane. And yet last week they only gave up 15 pressures. The week before that they gave 12, and then they gave up 10. So they've actually been playing decent. It's like they're not making use of that. They got to take advantage of the fact that their offensive line is way better than what we could imagine, because they're just throwing things together and seeing what happens. They have more injuries. I mean, you know, we can sit here and say the offensive line's an issue, but are we going to blame the third stringers for them struggling? I mean, come on now, man.
Yeah.
You're taking guys who didn't think they'd ever play in the NFL, and now you're taking them off the practice squad. And you're like, all right, you're starting for us tomorrow. I'm what? Like, you know, it's literally at that point. Like, you know,
next man up. Next man up. Yeah,
it is. It's a next man up league. You know, I commend the effort from the offensive line. I commend guys like Allen Robinson, who could very well have made this a toxic environment. He took $15 million a year. He's a guy that's had 1,400 yards. He gets a lot of flack from the fan base because why do we pay him? He doesn't do anything. But have you heard a peep, Cam, out of Allen Robinson? Has he complained once? Has he said, I need to get the ball, we're losing? There was a guy, I won't mention his name, last year on the Rams who complained and literally ran his way out of town because he wasn't getting the ball. And that team was 7-0 or 7-1. And this team's losing, and you don't hear anything from A-Rob. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Yeah, he's a team player, man, and that's what the Rams need, right? And we talk about finishing strong.
Big time.
You know, it's not over until it's over. And Allen Robinson, I believe he'll get his shine. I think towards the end of the season, if the Rams decide to use him like they did in the first quarter, Allen Robinson, the Rams fans will be super happy with his productivity and what he brings to the table. It's a great team guy, and that's what you want, and that's what you need.
Well, now he's going to be the number one option with Kupp out for the foreseeable future. Hopefully we get some more Kyren Williams. They listen to our podcast. We'll get you guys ready for the Saints game. I understand. We'll talk you off the cliff, okay? Like, we'll get you ready for the Saints game. Yeah. We'll be back here end of the week here, and that's going to wrap it. So appreciate you guys. Be sure to follow at Cameron Lynch 50, at JK Bogan. And be sure to like, subscribe, comment, review, rate, all that jazz. We appreciate you guys. This has been episode 135 of the podcast. And we'll be back later this week to help you guys get off that cliff. So
run the ball. Run the ball, Rams.
You guys take care, and we will see you soon.